I want to thank everyone for being here today. As he said, I'm going to talk about the pecan nut case bearer. So the pecan nut case bearer is the most damaging pest of pecans. They burrow into the nutlets of larvae and feed on the developing tissue of pecan nuts. The first generation is typically the most damaging because the first generation requires more nutlets because of the smaller size. In later generations, they're not quite as damaging because they can develop in 1 to 2 larger nutlets. And so I'm going to start off with a little history of the pecan nut case bearer sex pheromone. The sex pheromone that we call the standard pheromone was identified in 1994, and it was tested in the field in the United States, and it was successful at catching moths. When it was tested in the field in Mexico, it was unsuccessful at catching moths, even though we knew that pecan nut case bearer was present in Mexico at the time. So in 2004, a second sex pheromone was identified and developed for use in pheromone traps, and it was successful at catching moths in pheromone traps in Mexico. And oddly enough, it was also successful at catching male moths in pheromone traps in the United States. So this is just a map of pecan nut case bearer distribution. The darker blue is the native range of pecan, and the lighter blue is the range of pecan nut case bearer. And this coincides with the area, the areas where pecan is grown in cultivation. So here's the situation, just to explain it a little better. The standard pheromone is attractive to male moths throughout the pecan growing regions in the US. And the Mexican pheromone is attractive to males in Mexico and the southern US. So the current IPM strategy for controlling pecan nut case bearer consists of monitoring pecan nut case bearer activity with the pheromone traps and a degree day prediction model. And this just helps the timing of insecticides to be more accurate for pecan nut case bearer because there's a very short treatment window. You have to get out there and spray the pecan crop before the first instar larvae burrow into the nutlets. So our future goals for IPM for pecan nut case bearer consists of pheromone-based technologies such as trap and kill or mate disruption. And as we all know, sex pheromones are used by many insects to locate potential mates, and these blends are unique to a species. So here's an image of the pecan nut case bearer sex pheromone blends. This red blend right here, this is the standard pheromone. It's composed of an aldehyde, and the Mexican pheromone is shown at the bottom in blue here. It's composed of the exact same aldehyde component plus an additional acetate component. So after learning all this, it led to two questions. Are there two strains of the pecan nut case bearer denoted by pheromone blends that they produce and respond to? Or is there maybe a cryptic species complex? So I utilized AFLP markers to determine if either of these were true. So for my genetic analysis, like I said earlier, I developed AFLP markers, and I had specimens sent to me from Mexico and the southern US from pecan producers and other collaborators. So the results of the genetic analysis are shown here. This analysis was done with a program called Structure, and what Structure does is it tells us it uses a presence-absence matrix from the data that we got from the AFLP markers, and it's going to tell us how many populations are present. And so Structure told us that there were three populations present. Population A in the red here and population B in the green were both present in the U.S. They weren't, however, distinguished by pheromone blend or by geography. This blue cluster here, population C, this is all of the moth specimens that we had from Mexico, and these are only moths from Mexico. So I'm just going to zoom in here so I can explain Structure a little better. What this does is these bars, they just show the proportion of ancestry from a certain population. So this individual right here marked, oh, it's a sensitive mouse. This individual here marked 107 is going to be about 78% ancestry from population B, and about 22% ancestry from the population A. And these from the blue, it's 100% probability that these are from this population. So I also did a cluster analysis using the same AFLP data, and it looked pretty much the same. Up here in the top in blue, this cluster represents the population from Mexico, and scattered down here is the U.S. population. And as you can see, by looking at these terminals, each individual terminal represents one individual, and the blue terminals represent moths caught in the Mexican pheromone traps, and the red terminals represent moths caught in the standard pheromone traps. And as you can see, for the population in the U.S., they're intermingled. And so this led to a new hypothesis. Why aren't these moths differentiating or clustering by pheromone blend as you would expect? You would expect them to respond to a specific pheromone blend only. So I came up with a hypothesis that male pecan nut case bear in the U.S. Aren't really that specific and will respond to both pheromone blends, while those in Mexico will only respond to the Mexican pheromone blend. And so this is a graph showing some preliminary data that we collected. And as you can see, these blue bars represent moths captured with the Mexican pheromone, and the red bars represent moths caught with the standard pheromone blend. And in Georgia, Oklahoma, and Texas, moths were caught using both blends, but over this period of time, no moths were captured using the standard pheromone blend, and we've still never caught one in Mexico using the standard pheromone blend. So to test this, I did a pheromone assay. I collected males from the field, reared them from larvae to adulthood in the lab, and then I tested preference using a Y-tube olfactometer. And here's just the setup. At the bottom, the opening here, I placed a male specimen, and I placed the lure of the Mexican blend in one arm and the lure of the standard blend in the other arm. The airflow is denoted by these red arrows, so the air was blowing back towards the individual to carry the scent to them. So the results of my pheromone assay, this is just a graph that shows response. The green bar represents yes, they did respond at some point, or no, the blue represents no, they never responded. And so I'm going to talk about this group here that responded. So when I analyzed first response, it came out just how I expected, about 50-50. About half chose the Mexican pheromone first, and then half chose the standard pheromone first. So this is kind of the same as what we would see in the field if we were to go and collect pheromone traps. We can determine, you know, they responded to Mexican or they responded to the standard pheromone. But it's known that these insects will reproduce or they will mate more than once. So I wanted to kind of to simulate that in the lab. If given more than one opportunity to choose a pheromone blend, what will they do? And so this is what I found. This blue bar represents the moths that always responded to Mexican and only to Mexican. The red bar right here represents moths that only responded to the standard pheromone. And this larger bar here shows the amount of moths that had mixed response. On some testing days, they would respond to the Mexican pheromone, and on some testing days, they would respond to the other pheromone. And so, I should have explained this earlier, I'm sorry. They were tested for 5 days in a row through the duration of their adult lives. And so in conclusion, the pheromone type doesn't explain population structure in the U.S. as we expected. And some pecan nut case bears individuals in the U.S. will respond to both pheromone blends. And in Mexico, we think that they will only respond to the Mexican pheromone. And I will be going to Mexico this summer to test this other hypothesis. And so I'd like to thank everyone that sent samples to me, everyone in the Medina lab that helped me out, everyone that helped me collect pecan nut case bear, and then Augustin Fu, Roger Anderson, and Bill Ree.
Judge Ford questions?
Okay, so
when
you did the consistency test,
yes.
What's the significant difference?
Okay, let me go back to this actually. So when I did the chi-square for all three, there was no difference. There was no difference between the Mexican and the standard pheromone, and there was no difference when I did a pairwise comparison. There was no difference between the Mexican and the standard, and then there was no significant difference between the standard and the mix, but between the Mexican and the mix, there was a significant difference, and I didn't include that on this slide because I wanted to show all three at once.
Any other questions?
Sorry.
Well, the U.S. and the Mexican population is,
Did you say, will they interbreed,
yeah,
the Mexican and the standard population?
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but I assume they will, in just because of the fact that there will be mixed response and the fact that there was no differentiation in the genetic analysis. We would expect them to cluster differently, cluster by pheromone type, if they weren't interbreeding. And so I think there is a little gene flow between them, at least some.
It's really interesting for cells and cells that have really distinct dichotomous results.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, as you get closer to the Mexican and the U.S. border, what would you predict that you would find in terms of response to populations that may be between Mexico and Mexico?
Well, there's actually... I don't think there's much gene flow between the actual populations that live in Mexico and the U.S. because the pecan-growing regions in Mexico are... they're south of the desert that separates Texas and Mexico. Yeah, so there's geographic isolation.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.